You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The government has recently removed relationships and sexuality education, or RSE, guidelines in schools without implementing a clear alternative. The RSE guidelines were changed in 2020 to better support and include updates to the 2007 curriculum for primary and secondary school students on topics such as the prominence of social media, bullying and cyberbullying, and consent in an age-appropriate manner. With the removal of the 2020 guidelines, many educators are wondering how they adequately cover the topics covered in RSE. As well as this, concerns have been raised about whether a move like this will impact the mental health of students, especially from minority communities such as the LGBTQIA+ community. I spoke to the Chief Executive of Mental Health Foundation New Zealand, Sean Robinson, about the removal of RSE guidelines without the government clearly indicating to an alternative and the organisations concerned regarding these developments. I started off by asking him what RSE is.
Yeah, but they cover quite a wide range of things, everything from relationships, so consent in relationships, bullying, cyber safety and texting safety, essentially how to have positive relationships with other people, including romantic or sexual relationships, and issues around body image, gender and gender identity. So really quite wide-ranging and important stuff for children and young people, because these are all things that are fundamental to being human beings.
RSE in New Zealand isn't a new thing, but with the introduction of the updated guidelines in 2020, what changed?
Yeah, I think they were just much more full in terms of the guidance that they provided for teachers. So what we've done now, what the government has done, which is a total cop-out, is essentially take those guidelines away and say, oh, people can use what was there in 2007. What was there was really just a list of topics that teachers had to cover. So there was actually no guidelines, no guidance, no assistance for teachers in how to teach those subjects, how to cover those subjects. So topics like gender and identity are still there, but there's just no guidance. And also the 2007 guidelines, they were written before things like social media was anywhere near as prominent as it is now. So they're really out of date. So the 2020 guidelines were based on sort of detailed review by the Education Review Office. They were independently developed, with independent expertise for the Ministry of Education. Yeah, and they were received extremely well by teachers and schools. So really what we've done is just throw out the learning of the last 15 years and kind of say, well, a list of topics will do, which is just really quite ridiculous.
So to clarify, RSE is currently in like a little bit of a limbo about how educators are supposed to teach RSE.
Yes, it is. Now, hopefully a lot of schools will have already developed their programs since 2020. And, at this stage, the Ministry of Education is not saying, well, you have to abandon what you're doing. They've just taken the support for schools and the support for teachers away by removing the guidelines. And then the total cop-out is that the government had said, well, the national-led part of the government had said, yes, we will review the RSE guidelines and replace them. But they're actually not replacing them. They've just removed them. And they're copping out by saying, well, the whole curriculum's being reviewed and we'll do it as part of that. But that won't happen, till 2027. So we are totally in a state of limbo. And this is really a reaction to New Zealand First's position, which was driven by very conservative elements within our community, a minority of people who are very confronted by the notion of sexuality, of children being introduced to concepts and issues around sexuality and especially gender identity. And I think it's part of a worldwide moral panic over trans issues, over LGBT issues. But, you know, it's part of a long tradition of very conservative elements of the community being in a moral panic about talking to young people about sex, full stop. And, you know, really that we should have moved on from this ridiculous kind of Victorian attitude, and we should be listening to young people who in survey after survey have said we want guidance on these issues. So it's really a political manoeuvre to pander to a small minority of extremely conservative voters who certain political parties have quite cynically courted their support in order to get over the 5% threshold. And young people are the people that are being left to suffer because of this political manoeuvring.
Now, as we have discussed, the current model of RSE has been removed without a clear alternative put in place, and many are concerned that young people will not be adequately informed on topics touched on through this curriculum. However, what implications could we see specifically regarding the mental health of young people?
Well, look, all of these issues impact mental health. I mean, the RSE guidelines had a lot to say and to assist teachers in dealing with bullying. You know, a lot of bullying occurs around gender, around body image, around ethnicity, as well as around, you know, gender identity. And these were all topics that were covered in the RSE. Relationships was not just about sexual relationships. So, you know, we know bullying is a major issue in New Zealand schools, and we know that bullying has a significant negative impact on people's mental health, often long into their adulthood, you know, and throughout their lives. So that alone is a serious concern for young people's mental health. We also know that the LGBTI community, people with disabilities, people who are from minority cultures, you know, all have worse mental health outcomes than the mainstream. And we've, you know, on the one hand, we've got the government talking about wanting to do something about youth mental health and about mental health in general. On the other hand, we've got them taking away something that, you know, has a proven and established track record of supporting young people's mental health. So it's not a good thing at all. And, you know, mental health is not just about ensuring people can have access to services, you know, once they're in distress. It absolutely has to be about trying to reduce the things that cause distress in the first place. I just think that this government is not acting in a coherent way. It doesn't really have an overall plan for young people and for mental health, and is really sacrificing the well-being of young people to political expediency.
And do you expect that with removing the current RSE model, that we could see a rise in discrimination against these minority communities and a rise in poor mental health statistics?
Well, look, it's clear that those things contribute to poor mental health. We certainly hadn't won the battle to overcome those things, even with the RSE guidelines there. There was a long way to go in terms of addressing, you know, those issues around bullying, issues around consent and safety within relationships, issues around safety online for young people. There was a long way to go, even with those guidelines there. So it's just a major step backwards. We may not see like a sudden spike in poor mental health, because mental health is already very poor for young people across the board. But we've taken away one tool that we had to try to address that, and that is just does not make sense.
Summarising our chat here, what are the Mental Health Foundation hoping sort of comes out of these developments?
Well, look, we've We've opposed the policy of removing and replacing the guidelines from the start. We actually, and so we've campaigned publicly around that and got a lot of support for that position. We hope that many schools will simply get on and, you know, do the good work that they've been doing. We have resources on our website that schools and teachers can draw on, and I'm sure many, many clusters of schools will share resources. So, you know, many, many teachers are dismayed by this. Many schools are dismayed by this. And I think they will continue to do their best to support and guide children and young people around these issues. I certainly hope that when we do get to the 2027 review of the curriculum, that we're not still in this ridiculous cultural war of trying to turn the clock back to the 1950s, and that we can actually engage with young people sensibly in a modern context on the issues that they say are important to them, and give young people, give teachers and schools and young people the guidance they need to develop as healthy, well-rounded human beings, whoever they are, and create an environment of acceptance, celebration of diversity, where bullying can't thrive, where people feel good about themselves, which is a great bolster against poor mental health. So I hope that that's still where we're going. I have confidence that many schools will keep going there. I just think it's a very bad signal from our supposed political leaders when they're trying to actually turn that clock backwards rather than take a forward-looking, progressive approach that listens to what young people are saying.
That was the Chief Executive of the Mental Health Foundation New Zealand, Sean Robinson, about the government's removal of RSE guidelines in schools without implementing a clear alternative, and the organisation's concerns regarding this.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.